Welcome back to another episode of You're Doing Fine, Miha. I feel like I've been entering all these.
You have.
Yeah.
It's because all of these guests that we've had on this podcast have been people that you know in your life or have met somewhere along the way, or I've heard of them, and I'm just kind of like, yeah, I'm here.
You're here for the ride. Anyways, you have your hosts, like always, Jules and Angie. Here we are. Yes. And today we have another guest, another great guest. We have Miss Omogene, Omo for sure. Short. For sure. So, hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I personally really love your music. You have such a beautiful voice. I actually got to see you perform yesterday at the little outdoor event we had in Santa Ana, which you killed, girl. You killed it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, just a little background of like your artistry and stuff. When did you get started doing music?
Well, that's a long story. But I mean, I've been singing like basically my whole life since I was 7 years old. 7, 8 years old is when I started singing. And I started singing in church when I was about 13. But I didn't start releasing music till 2019, January of 2019. I was recording for quite some years on the low, but I didn't tell anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I just always had like this dream in my heart, you know, that I wanted to share with the world. And I guess that was just the right time, you know, for me to release the song. So,
So 2019, that was, because I've heard of you through Mike Club at Cal State Fullerton. Mm-hmm. And I believe I started following you. So yeah. Cause you had won their little contest that they had for.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's how I like got to know, like, I came across your content and I thought you were great. So well-deserved win right there.
Yeah, 100%.
So, but I believe that was 2019. So that was, barely when you were getting started then.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And you graduated that year too, right?
Yep, I graduated 2019.
Nice. That's
fun. Exciting.
Yeah, we were close. I was... January 2020 and Angie was May 2020, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was May 2020.
Go Titans!
Yeah.
Yes.
Yesterday at the event, you did you had mentioned something that I believe it was your song. Made for This. Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. Was it? Is it that one? Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm like stalking her on the internet right now. I'm just going through. If you think I'm confused, I'm literally just looking up everything that I can. I'm spiraling right now.
So you had mentioned that, or you just made a comment that I really, really loved is how God has his time for you to shine. Essentially, that's what you said it way better. I'm trying to think how you said it, but you said it so much better. How you just kind of like work on things kind of on the low, how you were saying you were recording on the low. You didn't start putting stuff out till 2019 because, you know, God has his time for you to like show your greatness. Yeah. And I absolutely love that.
Yeah, I think so. There's a time for you to be seen by the world, and like sometimes we want things right now, like right now, you know, and I feel like I'm ready and I feel like I'm great and I feel like I'm this and I'm that, but the reality is that sometimes God is still working on you, you know, and he's still working on some things in you, and it's just not the time yet for the world to see you. But when it is the time for the world to see you, nobody can stop you, you know, and during that time when you feel like you're being underestimated, it's almost like God is like covering your glory and waiting to show how you're going to blossom to the rest of the world. And it doesn't matter, like, whatever it is. Maybe you're, like, in school, you know, and you're pursuing your doctorate, or you're trying to work on your fashion line, or you're trying to work on your product, you know, and you mm-hmm. want it right now. But the reality is, like, there's an appointed time for you. And at the time that you're going to be revealed to the world, nobody is going to be able to stop you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that I feel like that really resonated with me because, well, like, as you know, this podcast name is You're Doing Fine, Mija. And essentially what we intend that to mean is just, like, whatever you're going through in life, whatever it is that you're striving for, and you feel like you may not be where you envision yourself to be, you know, you're doing fine. You know, you will be there. You will get there. Whatever it is that you're doing right now is exactly what you need to be doing, because you're doing fine. You're going to be fine. And like you said, when you are revealed to the world, no one's gonna stop you.
Exactly. That's right.
Yeah, so I love that for sure. Now, you also mentioned that you are a first generation Nigerian, which we love that. We love the diversity here at You're Doing Fine, Mija. Angie and I are also, like, mm-hmm. first generation Latina women. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know, being first generation, there's a bunch of different experiences, I feel, that you go through.
Yeah.
At least we've talked about it before on this podcast, how, like, just navigating education was, like, a little bit more difficult because, you know, our parents weren't, you know, in the school system. So it's, like, one of those things you kind of have to figure out as you go. We were just wondering, like, was there anything specific to you that you can think of, like, that you experienced that you feel like, oh, you know, this is something that I experienced because, you know, my family comes from somewhere else, you know?
There's so many things.
Well, yeah, for sure.
I think definitely, there are certain things that other kids can do that when you have Nigerian parents, you can't do. And kids just don't understand why you can't do those things. Like sleepovers.
Oh no, okay. Yeah. That does not happen in Latino hell. Not me either.
Oh my god. No, goodness.
Absolutely not. And not even my no mom would. Yeah, my mom wouldn't even let me, like, sleep over at my cousin's house. Like,
it's crazy.
But, like, imagine watching The Princess Diaries and being like, I want to sleep over it like that. Like, in The Princess Diaries, and not being able to do that at all. Like, just having that false hope that that's there. I mean, to be fair, she had her sleepover when she was older, but still, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. That
and they're sure. Just so, like, they're, like, skeptical about everything.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go to that person's house and eat at their house. Don't do it. And it's like, when do y'all relax? it's a lot. So there's just, like, a lot of little things like that. Mm-hmm. And you know some things when you're talking to your friends sometimes about problems, even up mm-hmm. until today, you're trying to talk to your just regular American friends about certain things. And they go, well, why don't you just say this and that? And it's like, you know what? I don't even know why I even asked you, because understand what it's like being a Nigerian kid. It's like, I was born in the United States,
mm-hmm.
but I was raised as a Nigerian child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, it's a totally different ballgame. It's like, outside is America, in the house is Nigeria.
That's so cool. That's like 100%, like, if we flip it to our cultures, me and Julia's, like, it's this almost the same. Like,
yeah,
the rules and regulations for people of color, it just surprises me how the white people can just talk back to their parents and not get any repercussion.
Never understood that.
Mm-hmm. Right? I'm like, y'all are bold. Right?
I'm just like, what? Like, I would talk back, but at home.
In public. In public, if you were acting out, just one look.
Yeah.
One look and it shut you up. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, and you know, sometimes I remember like being in school and like there's certain things maybe that you practice at home that you'll find yourself, you know, maybe like doing with your teachers. So like one thing in the Nigerian culture is you can't give your elders anything with your left hand.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. so even at school, I wouldn't give my teacher things with my left hand. And in the Nigerian culture, if you ask them, why can't you use your left hand? They'll tell you because it's not the right hand. And it's like, oh, whoa, right.
Oh my gosh.
But,
Yeah. No, for sure. There's definitely like other little things too that come to mind for me, at least. Like, I don't know, Angie, like if you find this in Spanish, when you speak to someone that's older, you address usted. You speak to them as usted. Mm-hmm. And what that means, it's just like, see, it's even hard to just even translate what that means.
It's like it's like saying sir or ma'am, kind of.
But it's like literally
but like every word. Yeah. And you have like all of your conjugations for that specific category of word. I think a lot of people that like at least grew up without having too strict of parents or didn't really speak Spanish at home lost that usted and just use like tú and like you and like so I mean the other one is like saying instead of saying what you say mande, which means like, oh, tell me what you want, but like respectfully.
Yeah. Respectfully.
You know, like I'm not coming at you, just respectfully, what do you want?
You would never say like qué, like you don't answer qué, which means what. It's like mandar means to order, give someone an order. So yeah, there's a bunch of different
just little things like that.
Yeah. You know? Uh-huh.
The culture. I think it definitely though, like I mean growing up like as a kid from I don't know like immigrant parents or parents that are highly involved in the culture that they grew up with and pass it on to you, it's like you see two cultures in front of you. You see the one at home and you see the one outside your house, just like how you said. Exactly. And you kind of like overlap the two, and at some point if you're lucky you can bring in the culture from outside inside the house. But in most cases, it's not the case. Like, it's just they're very hard-headed. They're very strong about what they believe and what they grew up knowing and what they want you to teach your kids and so on and so forth. And I don't think people get to see that divide if you don't know someone that was able to push through and, like, have those conversations that are a little bit more difficult when you do have people of color in your life. Because, I mean, speaking English alone, like I have so many friends that they don't speak English at home because their family was like, no, we're not speaking English in the house. And just like little things like that people don't really understand because they haven't been put in the position where they have to prove that or show that or have to do that for someone else, you know?
Yeah.
It's an interesting lifestyle. I think people would really enjoy it being on the inside, but I mean, obviously it can't be born again, you know? But it's just, I don't know. I wanted to ask, like, how has, like, your life growing up and the situations that you were in, how did that affect, like, the music that you created?
I'll definitely say I listen to a lot of different things because of my cultural background, my diverse cultural background. So I grew up hearing Afrobeat music, but then my mom spent some time in Jamaica, you know, so I listened to like a lot of like reggae and dance hall. And then I got sent to like a lot of, you know, the predominantly white schools. So I heard a lot of soft rock and alternative. And then my personal preference was always hearing things that my mom would play, like neo soul and R&B. So I just listened to so many different things growing up, and it's definitely impacted the way that I make music. Because sometimes, a lot of the times, I have a hard time boxing myself into a genre.
Mm-hmm.
Because on one record, I could hear R&B, and it's like, but let's put like some rock elements in here, or let's change the drums in here and put some African drums in here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And on this upcoming project that I have coming out, it's a lot of different genres going on, because that's who I am. You know, I want to share with people who I am, and I want to be as honest as possible with my work.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the beautiful thing of music nowadays. It can really be whatever you mm-hmm. want. You know, exactly. It's grown so much from being so categorized, and I absolutely love that.
I know.
Yeah, and you even yesterday you mentioned that you love to take rock songs and make it into R&B. I absolutely yes. love that.
That is like my biggest thing. And people like, it's funny because people that come to a lot of my shows, they really like R&B, neo soul, mm-hmm. and they're expecting me to do a lot of like the traditional covers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm doing a cover of some EDM song, and they're like, "Where? Who made that song?
Yeah,
where did you get that song from?"
It's good that you like expose people to other genres as well. You know, like. By combining the two, I think that's awesome.
Thanks.
That'd be cool. She should post those on TikTok.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that trend on TikTok? They take like a sad, sappy song, turn it into rock, turn it into punk rock, turn it into alternative, turn it into cumbias in Spanish. They do the whole thing. That song travels. And by the time people realize what song it is, I mean, it's probably had like millions of listens at that point. It'd be a good thing to do. It'd be fun, a little experiment to see how far it travels in the algorithm by itself. I think it'd do pretty well.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to try that. All I do is post nonsense on TikTok.
Oh my gosh, it'd be a good time. You watch. It's going to just pop off, skyrocket, honestly. And a TikTok loves music. I mean, it used to be Musical.ly, they love music. They love music on TikTok.
I love TikTok. I think more than any other platform, because it's just so, it's so real on there.
Mm-hmm.
People on like Instagram are like trying so hard.
Yeah.
You know, Facebook is already like a whole nother animal. I don't even like to scroll anymore.
Yeah, honestly.
But like TikTok just feels like a free space. Yeah,
for sure.
It's just a good time. I think Instagram did mess up a lot though, because like the OG Instagram, the Instagram that we probably all grew up with at the very beginning, will surpass the new Instagram now any day.
Right.
Like, I do not like how you have so many buttons to press now. Like, I understand the buttons. Just don't make me press the buttons to get to where I need to be. Like, I get it. Like, I'm not saying that I don't understand it. I understand it. Just don't make me do it, because it's just a waste of time.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, God. But I did want to say, like, okay, let's just going back to your music, because we jump around a lot, but, you know. Can you walk us through mm-hmm. how you go through the music process? Because Julia and I love listening to music, but probably mm-hmm. could never create a song for the life of us.
One day we will.
Very high hopes, Julia. I'm not going to set my dream there, but you can.
Listen. You were a violinist for so long. Stop. You could
create. I actually hurt my wrist, so I can't do a vibrato anymore on the violin. So that we're done there with my violin career. But how do you go, like, walking, like, start to finish? Like, just walk us through the whole song process. Because I was listening to this artist on an Instagram Live the other day, mm-hmm. and they were saying how they probably listen to the song, like, 1,000 times before it's released to the public. Just because, like, they want to make sure that they got every single part individually correct, and to make sure that it sounded the way that they wanted to. And even if it didn't do well, it was, like, something that they were proud of.
Yeah.
So I just want to know, like, from an artist's perspective, how was that like?
the process from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm. We got time.
I definitely would agree with that artist, you know, that says that they listen to it a million times. Because by the time I release a song, I don't even want to hear it anymore.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say that.
Yeah. But typically my process from beginning to end, I'm writing all the time. So sometimes I just come up with lyrics. Maybe I have like a melody and I put some lyrics to it. And, you know, like I'm always recording things in my voice notes, writing things down in my on my notes in my phone. I have so many journals here at home. Or sometimes there'll be producers that'll just send me stuff that they want me to write to. And then I'll write to that. And so after I finish all my writing, I always write before I go to the studio. I do not like coming to the studio and wasting time writing.
Yeah, that's hours that you're paying for.
Exactly. Especially when you're on a budget, you know, you have to, you know, maximize your time in the studio. So I get to the studio, record it, then my producers take it and put some more production on it. They'll send it to me, you know, a few times, and then I'll be like, oh, take this out, add this. Or I really like this. Hey, did you, I think it'll be cool if we have X, Y, and Z. And then once they finish doing their thing, we send it off to the mixing engineer. And then, you know, we do a whole bunch of back and forth with that. Right. Mm-hmm. And then we send it to the mastering engineer, and then, that only takes a few send backs, you know, and then I listen to it for a little bit to see how I feel. And then we put it through distribution. But see, by the time I've listened to it at that point, you know, I've already listened to my studio version the day I recorded it. I've already listened to it in my voice notes. I've already listened to it 5 million times when the mixing engineer sent it back to me, after the mastering engineer sent it back to me. Yeah, that's a lot.
Oh my gosh. Imagine, Julia, that's what you're going to have to go through to write your song.
We got to put in the word. That's the only way you got to do it.
You got, I feel
like you need to have like a lot of drive to be committed to that, you know? Have you ever gotten to the point where like you got pretty far in the process and then said that you didn't like the song at all and just wanted to start over?
Kind of like what I said earlier, I was recording for like a long time on the low before I released something. And you know, it just like there were certain things, like number one, my voice wasn't ready when I first started recording, and I didn't realize that singing live is different from singing in the studio. That was like another craft I had to really work on, and controlling my voice to sound nice on a record. So yeah, there was that. And then there was kind of like, I didn't really know like kind of like what my style was or what my sound was. And then also looking for like the right producers is always a long process, because I think as an artist, you really, really want to work with people that you can connect with.
Because
really doing a song with people is almost like a lifelong commitment, because when you create a song, it kind of takes a life on its of itself. And you guys all have royalties on this project forever.
Yeah, it's like a baby. It's like your baby. Exactly.
Yeah.
And if there's anything whereby you need to make an amendment to contracts, or, you know, there are certain things with like licenses, or when you get into deals, you guys all have to now come back together again, you know, or maybe there are certain deals where the money just goes to them and they don't really need to talk to you. But there's some cases, depending on what you write in your legal contracts, that you guys could be discussing more often than not. Or like my producers, I talk to them a lot, because sometimes we need tracks altered for gigs. Sometimes we're doing videos and we need certain things taken out for the videos. So yeah, it's a lifelong thing.
Yeah.
It's a child.
Yeah.
It is. It's a literal child.
It is. I mean, so make sure you work with people that you like.
Yeah.
For
sure.
Everything in life. In life, genuinely.
Yep. I mean, there's always like professionalism, you know, and being business wise, but you have to like who you're working with at least. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's a sign for all y'all listening. If you don't like the people you're working with, maybe it's time to find a new career.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's my advice to a lot of people that are in situations that are making them not love what they do, even though they know that they love what they do. It's more specifically like in entertainment industry, music industry, and things like that, where they get into the position where they genuinely love what they do, whether that be creating behind the scenes content, being on the forefront of things, editing videos, whatever it is. They love what they do, but just the environment that they're in doesn't allow them to grow as a person and be able to do their job to the best of their ability. And sometimes it is the person that you're working with is just kind of bringing you down. And I mean, in that case, it's so difficult, especially for like our generation, to just be like, you know what, bye. But it's a thing that we all need to learn, that you don't always have to just give in to the first person that offers to help, because sometimes they might not be the best person for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. That's a good piece of advice. Work with people that are at least good people.
At least good people.
I actually heard the first song that I heard was the Every Day Is My Birthday. And you want to know where I heard it?
Where?
Titan Radio got your demo submitted. And I remember because I don't know if you remember Abby or if you know Abby.
Yes, I do. She's such a sweetheart.
Yeah, Abby's a really good friend of me and Julia's. We actually had her on a podcast a few episodes back. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know how the order is going to be, but probably a few episodes back. But Abby, I remember sitting with Abby when she was going through all of these demo reels with Lauren, who was our music intern at the time. And I actually co-hosted the show that played your song on air. So that's like where I remember. I was like, okay, yeah, I remember this song. And I remember that was the first one that I heard of you. And I was like, okay, this person's gonna pop off. And it seems like it's going like a slow progress, but honestly, like the things that you're doing with being on stage, like meeting people, like, you know, getting people to look at your music, and from what I've stalked so far, it looks like you're doing pretty well.
You're doing fine.
I was sitting there asked, like, how do you feel about, like, are you signed to a label?
No, I'm independent. I am completely independent.
How do you feel about I guess the label, signing to a label and stuff like that?
Yeah.
I get asked this question a lot.
It's a good question because you've seen artists like Justin Bieber is a good example. Signed to a label, didn't really like it, dropped off, didn't make music, and then re-signed, I think, before he released new music again. I forgot who else was under the same realm of that, but it's happened to a lot of artists. It's not something that's like we haven't seen before. It's just that people just kind of stop making content when they're not signed to a good label.
Yeah, I'm not against being signed to a label.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if there's a really great deal, why not?
Mm-hmm.
But in order for me to do that, I need to continue working on my craft and build up what I have in order to be able to negotiate such a deal.
Yeah.
You know,
it's really to know the playing field, I feel.
Yeah. You know, and at the end of the day, it's a deal. Mm-hmm. So I have to be bringing something to the table to be able to negotiate that kind of deal, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I'm not against it. I feel like if a great deal comes along, sure, why not? But I definitely would be looking for something more of a partnership rather than just
signing your life away to that.
Exactly.
You're literally signing like your tours, your merchandise, how your song is going to sound at the end of the day, because most of the time they're just looking at the charts and seeing what's going to be doing good and what's not.
Yeah.
I like always wonder if it would just kind of push people to just be monotonously like creating content that they just do not enjoy, but just know that's going to hit the charts and going to make good music or going to make profits. Like,
but you see, that's the thing. One thing I've come to realize is that every artist is different, and every artist, they have different goals. So I can say I'm a singer, right? But this other singer only wants to do background singing, and that's fine. I could say I just want to be a songwriter, and that's fine. I could say I only want to have my own little community of people, of fans, and that's fine. Some people can say, I want to be a billionaire with music. They're not really that passionate about music. They just, music is an avenue for them to be famous and get money, and that's fine for them. Some people want to go on a world tour, like a big tour. And that is their definition of success. And so that's how they have formulated what they will accept and not accept. And so I think it's important for each artist to know where they're going, what they want, and how they're going to get there. Because I know some artists just want money. And that is fine. For me, I know that I want to own my records. I will go ballistic if I do not have a say in how my records are sounding.
Yeah, like we said, it's your baby. Like, how can you, like, just give it all away, you know? And no, for sure, bad record deals are not the thing. A lot of independent record labels are moving more towards the, like, partnership type things. Like, let's collab on a song for this, and it ends there, you know? And like, so it's not bad. Like, I know at least in the hip hop world, a lot of people give labels a bad rep, because it's given. Yeah, but you know,
the thing is that they're also signing bad deals. That's the
exactly
thing.
That's what I was gonna say. It's like you're not really knowing what you're getting yourself into, and you know, and it just, that's what gives. And then what I was gonna say is, like, people that do sign deals, people think, oh, what are you doing, you know? Like, you know, it gives it kind of also like a sellout. Like, people think you're kind of like a sellout or stuff like that. I just think if you're smart about things, you know, you do you, you know? Like, if a record deal is what you need, then do it, you know?
Exactly. That's the thing. People keep calling people a sellout for signing. It's like,
yeah,
you don't really know what that artist really wanted from the beginning. What if this is what they've always wanted? You know? So
I think also having like that financial backing that's kind of guaranteed. I mean, studio time, production time takes, it's a huge cost that the independent artist has to take on themselves. And if they're not, if they don't have the funds for it, sometimes it's good to go to a label. But then some people also like to do the slow process. Like, I'll crank out a song every few months or so whenever I have enough money to actually like pay for the things that I want and whenever I'm ready. And that kind of like leads people that are just doing it independently to have, I guess, more of a like comprehension about what they're doing and more understanding about like what they are going to go produce in the studio, because that's valuable time. That is time that they are never going to get back, and that money that was spent that they are never going to get back to create something that, you know, you don't know how it's going to turn out, but it's something that you're passionate about, and then something that you know you really, really want to do because you spent so long kind of curating it to happen, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's so. One thing studios will, record labels will always have over independent artists. It's the fact that they're going to offer
all the amenities.
Money. And resources and network. So those two things, network and money, that's the thing. If you as an independent artist can figure out those two things, how you're going to get those two things, money and a network, and that includes distribution, marketing, all those kinds of things, you're fine. But those two things are what record labels will always have as something to pool and reel in independent artists.
I feel like if you as an independent artist can figure out a team of people that you can rely on, going back to working with people that you trust, you know, I feel like the independent being independent is something that's doable. You know, it's doable if you have a team, but mm-hmm. on your own, one of those things that's really hard.
Yeah. See that thing? That team, it's just like finding your producers. It's so difficult. It is so difficult.
Mm-hmm. I bet. No, yeah. I mean, my boyfriend's a rapper, and so I have a view into this world of, you know, finding your team. And he got lucky. He got really lucky. His producer is his like best friend. Yeah. So that's like a really good relationship that they have. But I've definitely seen how he's grown, and like he's such a good networker. So finding the people he relies on, it's like in retrospect, I'm like, okay, yeah, like this is the only way I feel like you could do it if you were on your like all on your own, because you cannot. Unless you're Russ, I guess. Russ does it all. Like, he mixes, produces, and records and writes everything on his own. Like, that's a lot of work. That is a full-time job. That's more than a full-time job.
I know. And you know what? Russ took a deal for a few years with Columbia.
Yeah, he did. He did. But, I mean, if you also watch his interviews. He, like, drops a lot of good knowledge, like how he knew his worth before he signed that label with that label, so he knew, he was like, I'm not gonna get screwed over. Mm-hmm.
And that's and very his catalog was crazy. It's insane. He's so good.
He said he was already making like millions of dollars from his catalog alone before he even signed, and when he signed, he was like, I only signed to make it even that much better, you know. Mm-hmm. So I mean,
and that's another thing he mentioned, another one of his interviews where he was saying he signed because he already had in his mind a long time ago of what kind of artist he wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And even though he was making all that kind of money, he knew that he needed some label resources to get to the area where he wanted to be. And that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That all goes back to, like, negotiating your contract to make sure that you're not getting screwed over. Yeah. And to make sure that you know, okay, there's millions of labels out there for people that are listening. There's tiny labels that you would have never thought of that are hosting some of the biggest artists that you listen to every day. Mm-hmm. And it's just understanding that there's more than just the big record labels that you see every day, and a lot of it, like the collabs that you see, are because they are part of the same record label. So being able to just have that simple access that they're part of the same like distribution network, it's just so good to have, because you don't have to be searching for the person. But also in some cases it could limit you on who you can perform with. Because there are some cases where the record labels are battling with each other because they were offering artists like these contracts and they decided to take one over the other. Okay, mm-hmm. So now we're just going against it because we don't like you. You don't like us. We're just going to hash it out right here and we're not going to collab. And like there have been some people that do collab because they negotiated their records to be like not just people that are in the label, like people outside of the label. But it's just all... it's all numbers and paper and words, and then you guys can just get the music, and you don't get to see anything right. else. Everything else, yeah. It's crazy out there. It's a crazy world. I was looking up. Let me see if I could pull it up. I was looking up about. I don't know if you guys saw that Dixie D'Amelio from TikTok got signed to a record label, which is the reason why she released her first song. Do you guys? Okay, so she is signed to Hitco Entertainment. Same. You guys don't know who Dixie D'Amelio is? Do you guys?
Is she the sister of
Charli D'Amelio, one there of the top TikTok people. Yeah. Okay. So she's, so Dixie D'Amelio is Charli D'Amelio's older sister. She's signed to Hitco Records. No, mm-hmm. Hitco Entertainment. Oops. Oops. I'm trying to get the about page just to show you. I've never heard of Hitco Entertainment ever in my life. I was like, who is this? And then I went into it, and they have 15 artists signed to them, including Big Boy Outkast and then Dinah Jane from Fifth Harmony. So just hearing the name, I would have never thought that. And like someone like Dixie D'Amelio is signed to that type of connection. Like just mm-hmm. think about that. And her songs aren't that good. Just gonna put it out there. They're not good. They're, oh not, my good. Gosh. They're not good.
Inspired.
Actually, here, while we have an artist here, we are gonna go over one of Dixie D'Amelio's songs. Just because I mean, come on.
You're gonna have her throw shade. What if she don't want to?
I don't really judge other people's art.
I'll just read out some songs. There was like some lyric that is just like the same word over and over and over again. I just don't know what song it was. But point is that
I mean that example of an artist, like she knew what kind of artist she wanted to be, just like how Imagine said. Amal Gane. I need to like say that a bunch of times so just in my brain.
I want to find the song just because I want to just bring it up. Like
she knew what kind of artist she wanted to be. She just wanted to like expand her TikTok fame, you know? And that's her thing.
I just find it interesting how she got signed because
she's a TikTok star.
Obviously, like because TikTok blew up, like you see so one of her lyrics says, "For one day, I was really, 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 really sad. For one day, for one whole day, I missed you really, 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 really bad."
I mean,
that's a lot of really,
really, really, really was sad.
You know? I'm just gonna leave it at that. Just if you guys haven't heard, I'm just gonna leave it at that. Just
okay. Oh my gosh.
It's because like okay,
But hey, it may be really, 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 but she's getting a lot of money though.
Right, she's getting a lot of money.
I looked up who her producers are. She doesn't write any of her music. She has people that write it for her. So mm-hmm. I feel like if it was she might have the ideas for them, but she didn't write the music for it. She has a great voice. We'll give her that. She has a great voice. It's just that I wish like she put a little bit more into actually being the person that writes the lyrics for the songs that come out. Just because I feel like a lot of the way that she delivers things is really good. You know, like if she's singing a line to you, she delivers it really well. It's just that the people that are writing the songs are kind of just like, meh. And that brings me back to like a Rebecca Black situation with Friday. We all know about Friday, everybody. I don't know if you guys heard that back in like 2017, I wrote about this a few days ago, but back in like, oh man, I want to get these dates right. So Rebecca Black released Friday in 2011, and then in 2013, she released Saturday. I don't know if you guys ever heard Saturday.
Absolutely not.
Oh my goodness. Go back, listen to them back to back. Listen to Friday by Rebecca Black, and then listen to Saturday by Rebecca Black. The difference that 2 years did for that girl with a solid producer and with her actually being the one to put the pen to paper to write the lyrics, so great.
I did see like a interview of of Rebecca Black. She it was one of those shows where like, oh, I was a meme and what happened to my life after being a meme. And yes, so that Friday song, she was like, she didn't even want to do it, but she kind of just did it just because like, why not, whatever. Mm-hmm. But she actually is a real artist, I guess. Yeah, she actually really does enjoy making music. She literally just did Friday as like, why not, you know? Someone had reached out to her and was like, we want you to do this. And she hated the song too. So,
yeah. I mean, yeah.
But hey, it gave her some kind of fame.
Yeah.
It's a good song.
Saturday.
It's Saturday. Yeah. She really dishes and like bashes the Friday song because She actually, when she signed, went back to contracts, when she signed her contract, she didn't really know what she was signing up for when she was doing it. And on TikTok, there was a girl that said that she was trying to become an artist through the same company that Rebecca Black was trying to become an artist through. But she ended up just not doing it. And she said that she got put, like, she had the list of songs that were the same songs that Rebecca Black had. So Rebecca Black kind of just got the short end of the stick where she had to record this song because she was signed to a contract and she had to do the music video the way that they wanted to because they told her that she would become famous. And that's, like, just a good example of, like, read your contracts, know what you're signing, know who you're going with. Because, I mean, it's 100% not her fault. And I think that if that were to happen today, in today's society, with TikTok and with everything that we have, she would have been a meme, yeah, but she would have been like Pink Guy that just became like Joji, right? So she would have just redeveloped. You guys don't know about Pink Guy? Do you know about Pink Guy?
I no. don't know what you, I had to, I'm telling you, you're my like little tabloid over here.
Okay. I'm just bringing up a ton of artists that I feel like people know or should get an idea. Okay, so just back to like the memeing. So like Rebecca Black tried the internet thing to become famous, just like following the steps of Justin Bieber. We all know who Justin Bieber is. Mm-hmm. So, Justin Bieber, YouTube's too famous star. Rebecca Black tried to do the same thing. Didn't really succeed. She actually had to drop off of the internet just because like she got bullied really bad. She had to be homeschooled. And then she came back and became like a really good artist. Her vocals are so much better now. Mm-hmm. And Pink Eye created some raunchy music that I do not recommend listening to if you don't want to listen to that. But he was Filthy Frank. Do you know who Filthy Frank was?
No.
Oh my gosh. YouTube personality that had like a really raspy voice that he would make on purpose. And it actually like killed his vocal cords. So yikes. He had to switch his personality and now he goes by Joji. And his is like, it's like a really like, I guess it's like a lot smoother. It's not really raspy. It's really good music. Highly recommend. He has like 14 million monthly listeners. And I recommend going to listen to Joji. He just flipped the switch where he was a meme. He had really interesting music and then just decided I want to switch and become this. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's a good thing to see, an interesting perspective though, to have people go in that route. Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. Rebecca Black could have done it, but it's just that she just came out in the wrong era, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Artists got a lot to deal with when they're trying to figure out when exactly they're going to hit their mark. And I think it kind of goes back to, like, how you guys were saying, when it's your time, it's your time. Rebecca's time in 2011 probably was not her time. But in 2013, when she came back, Rebecca Black.
But yes. See, that's the thing. It's like, I feel like since she came out a little bit earlier than she was intended to, you know, all she's remembered for is that Friday song, you know?
Gotta get down on Friday. It's a good song.
I don't know if it's a good song, too. I'm, you know, Friday. I don't know if people were dissing the song.
It was just her singing. I don't know. It was just a little not my cup of tea.
It's an interesting thing to see how the new round of independent artists are coming out. Like either you produce your stuff by yourself and then like you see how it does, and if it catches the eye of someone that it eventually hits a million listens, like that's your route. And then a lot of what we're seeing right now is social media influencers that have their social media presence switching into music, and so it's interesting to see what the next round of artists is going to be like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm excited for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Who
mm-hmm.
would be like your dream collab with?
Ooh, my dream.
Yeah, and then you can list the other ones, you know. So like top dream, and then like maybe the next four underneath. So top five.
There's so many. so many. But if NDRE or Lauryn Hill, you know, ever asked me to do a song with them, not even a record, but even just to like sing on stage with them, I would be elated. But yeah, those are like my top two favorite artists of all time.
Imagine the vocals just meshing together.
Those are my biggest influences.
Yeah, that's so cool. Oh my gosh, would you? Okay, are you one of those artists that like dreams like to perform Madison Square Garden one day, or are you one of those artists that just like wants to have the closed room of like people that just want to just vibe out to your music, like a small venue?
Definitely we want things to go far. I don't really talk about my goals and dreams a lot. I'm always very I don't know,
wherever the wind takes me, wherever.
It's not necessarily where the wind takes me. I don't know. I'm always very shy to like share my dreams with people.
I will say Madison Square Garden's opening up again. That's why I brought it up. Well, Madison Square Garden's doing like they're bringing back their concerts in the COVID-free, safe environment. So that's all I'm saying.
How?
Like, a lot of, well, I think they're requiring testing and proof of testing. You tested negative.
Yeah. I feel like you could still.
Probably. Yeah, my dad would say you could probably fake that.
But yeah, you could still fake that.
I was just saying, because like a lot of artists, like they set like their little milestones. Like, I want to perform this. I want to perform that. Like, yes, you know? Yes. And so I was just like thinking, like, do you have a milestone for yourself?
I do. I have a list of milestones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like a written list.
See, that's the best part. You write it.
You put it in the safe.
Yes, write it down. Like, there's so much power in that.
Yeah.
Manifesting things, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely right now, I'm very, very focused on making sure that I take care of like a circulating amount of money to continue to produce the projects that I wanted, the quality that I want it to be at, and also taking care of my team. You know, I really, you know, everybody that has worked with me has put in a lot of effort into me, whether it's the producers or the engineers or videographers or editors or makeup artists, stylists. You know, they put a lot of work into making these visions I have come to life, and I want to be able to pay people what they're worth. You know, they're taking a chance on me. I want to be able to do the same for them.
I want to be able to go to a concert, like to go see her live. Like, you know,
right. Oof.
Imagine she opens up for Russ one day. Like up there. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
She'll be a headliner at True 100's first big old concert. For
amen.
That'd be a huge production. I always think about like how much that would take, like, to make things like that happen. It's just insane to know.
We're gonna figure it out. Okay. Once COVID is not a thing anymore, y'all better watch out.
Honestly, for everything, just everything in general. Like, once COVID is not a thing, I feel like it'd be easier for a lot of people to do the things that they want to do and create the content that they want to create. You know?
Yeah.
I feel like I can see, dang, what was the, I used to follow this, I don't know what it's called, but if I remember it, I'll like tweet it or something, but I used to follow this page that had private concerts, and they never told you who was playing. Oh, So Far Sounds.
So cool.
So Far Sounds. Oh, yeah.
So Far Sounds.
Oh my gosh. They never told you who was performing, but they would just send you to a random location. I could see her doing something like that, like going to a concert like that, just no one knowing who's performing, and then just everybody just sitting on the floor in their little pillows and stuff, and then she pops out. You thought.
Okay, obviously now COVID's a thing. Performing is not like a super common thing right now. So before yesterday's event, have you performed like on pretty big stages, small stage? Like, what is your performance?
It's kind of like a mix of a lot of different things. The last time I performed before yesterday was in November. And it's funny because before the show, I was like, do I even really know how to sing still?
So long you like were in quarantine. You're like, ooh. That's funny.
And it's weird because like before the show, people like the engineers will ask you like, what do you need? What are you bringing? Mm-hmm. This is the back line, and you're just like, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I guess I'm trying to get back into it. You know, what do I need? Just there's like certain things you need to know, mm-hmm. when you're going to be performing, mm-hmm. and certain kind of etiquette and things like that I'm just trying, mm-hmm. to like get back into, you know, not just singing in my room for my OMO Mondays or recording in the studio, getting back into performing live, which is what I really love to do, performing live.
Yeah.
But yeah, before COVID, we were all over the place, and mm-hmm. I would like to continue to be all over the place.
Yeah, it sounds like fun.
Yeah, so as things are opening up, mm-hmm. people will know where to find me for booking, you know, on my, mm-hmm. they can go to my website, amalgamed.com, or email me at info@amalgamed.com, mm-hmm. or DM me on Instagram, and, mm-hmm. I will respond, or somebody will respond as soon as possible.
I think that leads into Julia. We should go into our speed round of questions if you have any.
For sure, yeah. So this time it's going to be not would you rather. It's going to be an overrated, underrated. So
She's kind of really nice. I don't know if she's going to be like overrated, underrated.
Well, like it's easy things, not like people or something. It's
okay.
Don't worry about it. Like, let's see, because I didn't vet all of these. I saw the first few. I was like, these are fine. But okay, we'll go get into it. So I'm just gonna list it, and then you're gonna say overrated or underrated. You don't have to give a explanation if you don't want to.
Okay.
So all right. So we have pizza. Overrated or underrated?
Underrated.
Underrated. I'm the opposite. Oof, pizza is overrated to me. All right. Avocados.
So underrated.
Agreed. All right. Titanic.
Overrated.
Overrated. It's too long. Like,
You know, it was a really good movie. But I'm more of like a musical person.
So. Ooh, what's your favorite musical? Hold on.
I was going to say, but I wouldn't watch it again.
Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella. They just added it to Disney Plus. That's the one with Whitney Houston and Brandy.
Okay, yeah, I know which one you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
That one, the video. It just takes the cake. And that, I think it came out the year I was born. So I've grown up watching that movie.
Uh-huh.
And so that one and The Greatest Showman. Mm. Those are my two favorite movies of all time.
I haven't seen The Greatest Showman yet. I need
to. It is so good. Oof. Oh my gosh.
Is it on Disney Plus? Does anyone know?
I have not checked.
Actually, I think it is. Yeah, I think it is.
It's going to the list. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see the next one. Taco Bell, overrated or underrated?
Overrated.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they just came out with these new nacho fries, which are really good. Yeah. I eat them without the cheese, but the fries themselves are really good.
I think Taco Bell has pretty good potatoes. Like, they have
get rid of the potatoes?
Yeah. Huh?
Didn't they get rid of their potatoes?
I don't think so. They have these little breakfast burritos with like potato and eggs that are really good. Mm. So yeah. And it's only $1. So when you're on a budget.
Exactly.
All right. So New Year's Eve, overrated or underrated?
Overrated. Mm-hmm. I don't really do anything on New Year's Eve besides pray with my family.
Yeah, I mean, obviously this year there was not much. I mean, people were doing stuff, but
yeah,
I sure wasn't.
Yeah, call the cops on them next time, you know.
Oh, man. Oh, this one's funny. Everyone's obsession with bacon. Is it overrated or underrated or accurately rated? That's an option, too.
Overrated. I'm a vegan, so.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. All right. Libraries.
Overrated. Underrated.
Yeah.
I love libraries.
Mm-hmm. I love being in the library. Okay, books are like, I don't like to read books, not gonna lie.
You like books to read you.
Yeah, exactly. No. Okay, funny thing. I love to listen to audiobooks, but follow along with the book. That's weird. I don't care.
Yeah. Like, same.
I like that.
That reminds me of school, like when you were a little kid and were following along to the reading.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some people need that because my brain jumps around a lot and I'll be reading a page and not be paying attention to what I'm reading. And yeah. Okay. Oh, this is a good one. Recording concerts with your iPhone camera. Overrated or underrated?
That is a difficult one.
I'm bracing myself for the answer.
Yeah. It depends.
If
it is a paid concert, then we shouldn't be recording the artists. If it's a free thing, then yeah, record them.
That has a different response to me now that we're like in quarantine, because I just replay concerts that I've recorded on my phone. Like that's all I've been doing. I remember this feeling.
Yeah, no, honestly, I do that too, where I'll record just like the your one song that I really, really want to hear. Like,
I'll say, you know what? I don't think it's necessarily about recording concerts. I think it's when people like repost it. You know, you can post like little clips, but when you're like posting like the whole concert, the whole 2 hours.
No, there's definitely people that are like that.
Enjoy it.
That's when artists get mad, because it's like they work really hard to put it together. You know, people are supposed to pay to come and see them live. And
Julia, why you make that face?
Because the next one, I was like, I want to know. Okay, let me just get into it. The next one is listening to the radio. Is it overrated or underrated?
It is overrated.
Ah, man. Boo.
Boo-hoo, I do too. Not listen
True 100 to radio. Radio. Bye.
Wait. Hold on. But there's two. I feel like there's two dynamics here, though. Is it overrated because of the music that's on the radio? And we're what kind of radio are we talking about? Like FM radio,
radio.
Internet radio. There's different kinds.
It's overrated because they have commercials.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to listen to commercials. Same thing with TV.
I feel that. Okay. I see that.
Yeah.
I mean, safe to say, Angie and I really love radio. I don't know about you, Angie. I love to listen to the radio personally.
I like to listen to certain stations at certain times.
Yes, for sure. Different shows that are on.
That's what I like to listen to. Different topics to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what's so interesting is that even though a lot of people don't listen to the radio as much anymore now, if your song is on the radio still till today, it's still a big deal.
It gets so many plays alone. Like, I mean, Julia and I interned at like actual radio stations, like real radio stations. I actually interned for one of the ladies that made the program like list, and she said that a song gets played 3 or 4 times within the hour. But that's the reason why you hear it so many times.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I mean, I definitely feel like big radio stations are a little overrated. There are exceptions with some shows that are like really, really good content. Mm-hmm. But definitely, yeah, big major radio stations are overrated for sure.
Yeah.
And like for that same reason that they play the same music every fucking hour.
Well, I mean, now they play the same like show clips, because I don't know if you saw, but now you can hear it a lot more where they clip the same stories from certain episodes, I guess, and then they reuse it. Mm-hmm. That was one of my jobs as an intern, just to clip shows and just stitch them together for other episodes. So
But independent radio and True 100 radio, not overrated.
Yeah, so. Definitely not overrated. Yeah, I just don't like commercials. That's my thing.
You know, it's crazy. I don't know what your major was, but mine was communications, and we focused a lot on commercials and stuff, at least in my department, because, like, it was broken up. But, like, I did a lot of advertising courses and stuff, and so now I love listening to radio ads. I love listening or watching commercial ads. Like, I love it because I analyze it. I don't know, but weird thing about me.
That's cool.
Let's do one more. Ooh, this one's gonna hit home for Angie. Bucket hats, are they overrated or underrated?
I don't really know what that is.
A bucket hat.
It's like a fisher hat, like fishermen wear it, but it's like way more trendy now, and Schoolboy Q wore it like back in the day. Like, that was his
let me look. Look it up. Oh, those are cute. Yeah, those are cute.
Yes,
those are definitely underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Angie,
girl, I'm glad I looked that up because I didn't know what that was.
You should definitely get a bucket hat if you can. They're a good time.
Yeah,
I recommend like reversible ones. That way you have like two different options. I like those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and that was fashion advice with Angie. Yeah.
We're like reaching the end of the podcast episode so that we don't spend too much time recording this. But what is there like anything else that you would like to say? Anything else you would like to add? Any comments, any life advice if you have any or something, just anything really. You could just, if you have anything else to say to us or anyone listening.
Yes, I would definitely say dream big.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to dream, make sure you believe in yourself. Because it'll be very difficult for people to come alongside you if you don't believe in yourself or if you don't believe in what you're doing. So you got to be able to believe in yourself and take a risk on yourself before anybody else can do the same. Those are my 2 cents. It's the biggest thing.
We talked about a lot of stuff today, so that's a good time. It's a good in-depth conversation about like someone that's actually recording independently, making things out there. You know, hopefully, like when the world opens up, you'll be able to create more content that's enjoyable to not just yourself, but to everybody else that can listen to you. So,
exactly.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yes. Well, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Do you want to go ahead and plug any social media or anything?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so you can follow me. I'm most active on Instagram and TikTok, and I have the same handle, _OMOGHENE. Facebook is Omogene Music. My website is omogene.com. That's OMOGHENE.com. And like I said earlier, you can shoot me an email as well for booking, which is info@omogene.com.
Yeah, perfect. Awesome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, also, my music is available on all streaming platforms. Wherever you listen to music, my music is there.
Also, if you guys don't know where to find her music, her website tells you exactly where to find it.
Yep.
Exactly where to find it. Yep. All right. So until next time, everybody. Julia.
Yeah, make sure to like, subscribe. Do they subscribe?
They subscribe. They save on Spotify.
I think it's follow. Yes. Follow whatever it is on. We are on Apple.
How many episodes now? We don't know.
Listen. It doesn't matter. It's going to be like 2 years from now, and I'm still going to be struggling with this part.
It's all good. It's all good.
But you know what I mean. Go follow. Go like. Go save. Do all that. Rate us 5 stars. And until next time, guys,
you're
doing fine.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. We ended it this time.